This morning on WCHL, local activists are concerned we might see the same fate as the Dan River with a coal ash dump under the Chapel Hill Police Station.
This landfill is totally unregulated, unlined, and contains known hazardous substances, including heavy metals.
UNC's faculty chair-elect says the public conversation about athletes has to change.
We shouldn't be personally debating them out in public like this. We should be figuring out a way to support them.
And is a recently proposed pay raise plan for North Carolina teachers the most significant in state history? These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Harbor Road traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC Baseball's confidence is high heading into double elimination play on the road to the College World Series. And
if you thought Catherine Romaine was too good to be true, she is.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL, 66 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy all day, 50% chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, and we could get a little storm activity this morning. Our high today, about 80 degrees. State and town officials are investigating a coal ash dump located underneath the Chapel Hill Police Department headquarters, but some local activists are saying that more has to be done to protect Bolin Creek. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Stefan Klakovich with the group Friends of Bolin Creek came before the Chapel Hill Town Council last night to ask the town to take action to clean up a coal ash dump recently discovered under the Chapel Hill Police Department headquarters adjacent to Bolin Creek.
As with many other landfills in the state of North Carolina, this landfill is totally unregulated, unlined, and contains known hazardous substances, including heavy metals, that have leached out into the environment and will continue to do so until the dump is removed.
The site was used as a dumping ground for coal ash in the 1960s and 70s, before the town purchased it in 1980 to build a police station on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. An engineering consultant hired by the town last year reported high levels of arsenic, barium, chromium, and lead in groundwater samples from one of two testing wells, as well as elevated levels of barium in soil samples across the site. The Friends of Bolin Creek say they are concerned the town is not currently planning to clean up the coal ash dump. They worry contaminants will leach into the creek if the dump remains in place. But in a letter to the town council, officials from the State Department of Environment and Natural Resources, or DENR, say the recent findings have been misconstrued by local activists. They say there's no evidence contamination has spread to the surface waters of the creek and call for repeated sampling to confirm if heavy metals have in fact leached into the groundwater. The town will be required to submit a remediation plan to the state once the investigation is complete. But Klakovich and others question Diener's approach, saying the regulatory agency has lost credibility following the Dan River coal ash spill in February.
We need to do more than just what will merely satisfy Diener, whose reputation on coal ash regulation has been discredited on a national level.
Still, town staffers stress the investigation has just begun, arguing it's too soon to determine what should be done with the site. In the meantime, the town has installed silt fencing above Bolin Creek to keep the coal ash out of the water, and security fencing to keep out the public. DENR officials will provide recommendations to the town council when review of the latest round of testing is complete. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Some Democrats in the North Carolina House have introduced a bill that would forbid Duke Energy from passing the cost of cleaning up its coal ash dumps onto its electricity customers. The bill introduced this week is intended to offer an alternative to the Republican-backed plan proposed by Governor Pat McCrory, who retired after working at Duke for more than 28 years. The Democratic bill would also prohibit Duke Energy from disposing of coal ash in unlined waste pits after August and would set firm deadlines for the company to close all 33 of its waste dumps scattered across the state. The competing proposals come after a February 2nd coal ash spill at a Duke Energy plant in Eden coated 70 miles of the Dan River in toxic sludge. North Carolina lawmakers have given preliminary approval to a measure that would allow fracking for natural gas to start in the state next year. The Republican-controlled state house voted 63 to 52 to approve the bill on Wednesday, with a dozen members of the GOP caucus and all but one Democrat voting no. The House will hold another vote today before sending the bill back to the Senate, which approved an earlier version of the bill last week. If the Senate agrees with the House changes, the bill heads to the desk of Governor Pat McCrory, who has said he will sign it into law. Fracking, or hydraulic fracturing, is used by the energy industry to extract oil and gas from rock by injecting high-pressure mixtures of water, sand, or gravel, and chemicals. UNC students participating in revenue-generating sports have been thrown under a microscope, and the quality of the education they get has been called into question. Carolina's faculty chair-elect Bruce Caron says the conversation has gone down the wrong path.
And the ones that are struggling, we shouldn't be personally debating them out in public like this. We should be figuring out a way to support them.
Those comments were made during a WCHL News special with Jim Hefner. Dr. Caron is the J.C. Burns Center Director and John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery at UNC. He was recently elected as chair of the faculty at Carolina and will take over from Jan Boxall at the start of the new academic year on July 1st. The faculty chair position is for 3 years. The public debates increased when academic advisor Mary Willingham blew the whistle on research she conducted in which she says she found 60% of a sample of athletes at UNC read between 4th and 8th grade levels. The sample was 176 athletes chosen from 2004 through 2012. The way in which Willingham got the data has also been questioned, as she's been accused of receiving the names of the athletes along with the test scores. When she applied for her research, she said she would not be getting identifiable information with the test and that they would be coded. However, she says the reason she knows who the struggling athletes at the university were is because they were her students, not because she saw names on the test scores. UNC has conducted a number of internal investigations to see where corrections need to be made. A number of external investigations have also been conducted, both at the request of UNC and not, to find the flaws. Dr. Caron says he believes there's one clear-cut way to prevent future problems.
As we move forward, what we have to stand for is academic integrity, as opposed to against something, whether or not it's athletics or the performing arts or something else. Well, if we stand for our academic integrity and then we stand for making sure we have policies, procedures in place to ensure that that happens, then people can have confidence that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Stay tuned at 7:30 this morning. We'll bring you part three of the four-part conversation with Jim Hefner and Bruce Caron. And this weekend, you can hear the discussion in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon. North Carolina Senate Republicans held a press conference on Wednesday morning to announce a pay raise plan for teachers, which they're touting as the most significant in the state's history. Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger led the Raleigh press conference yesterday.
To attract and keep the best educators in the classroom, the Senate budget will contain an average pay increase for our teachers of over 11%. And that will be a permanent pay raise for North Carolina public school teachers beginning July 1, 2014.
According to Berger, the proposed annual contract plan would replace what he called the archaic 37-step plan for teacher raises. He said it would increase starting pay to $33,000 and bring average teacher salaries up to more than $51,000. Senate Republicans say that the average pay for each teacher would increase by over 11%, more than $5,800 in the first year. The plan also gives teachers a choice. They can either keep their tenure or get the raises.
Under our plan, teachers who agree to work on annual contracts for the 2014-15 school year would move to the new pay scale and receive the substantial salary increase. Those who choose to keep tenure would remain on the current pay schedule.
According to Phil Berger, the new stipulations would repeal an automatic loss of tenure by 2018, which was voted into law last summer by the Republican-led General Assembly. At Wednesday's press conference, Berger did not provide any details on how the $468 million plan would be paid for. That doesn't sit well with Democratic House Representative Greg Meyer of Chapel Hill, who represents Orange and Durham counties.
The rumors that we're hearing are that there's going to be massive cuts to Medicaid and the university system to be able to do that. As somebody who spent 16 years working in the public schools, I would have a hard time justifying giving a pay raise to teachers when kids won't be able to access medical care.
Meyer also criticized the proposed choice between tenure and a pay raise as a Faustian bargain. The North Carolina Senate is almost ready to roll out adjustments to the second year of the two-year state government spending plan approved last year. Senate Republican leaders said yesterday they plan to consider their proposal in the chamber's Appropriations Committee today. Two other committees also would examine the measure before it goes to the Senate floor for the first two required votes on Friday. Governor Pat McCrory offered his own budget ideas 2 weeks ago. The House would pass a competing plan after the Senate. Lawmakers want to send a final plan to the governor before the new fiscal year begins July 1st. Senate Leader Phil Berger said yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, the budget would contain a proposal to allow veteran teachers to get higher pay if they give up job protections. And the North Carolina Senate's version of an omnibus tax bill has remained intact after Democratic amendments were defeated, including one that would have lifted the scheduled repeal of certain municipal business taxes next summer. The Senate gave tentative approval on Wednesday to the wide-ranging legislation tweaking several several portions of the 2013 tax overhaul, but also levying an excise tax on electronic cigarettes. The Senate bill would eliminate local privileged license taxes starting July 1st. The House version of the bill approved last week replaces them with a tax capped at $100 per business. Towns and cities are worried they'd lose more than $62 million a year with a full repeal. Democratic Senator Joel Ford offered an amendment that would create a three-tiered taxing scheme based on a company's number of employees. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Oh, thank you very much, Ron. Still seeing some slowdowns on 15501 northbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road. Actually, northbound and southbound seeing some slight delays there. You might see some additional delays, 15501 southbound between Estes Drive and Raleigh Road. NC 54, which is Raleigh Road, heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some delays, and a little bit of a delay right around Fayetteville Road right now on I-40 heading eastbound. No accidents being reported right there, but you might see just a slight delay in that area. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef, piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys, Minamot Village. Now let's turn to the weather on WCHL, and our forecast is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. 66 degrees, cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Even this morning, we might get some storm activity, then a chance of showers and thundershowers in the afternoon. Our high today about 80, which is considerably cooler than yesterday. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain and low in the low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy all day, 40% chance of showers in the morning, then a slight chance of showers and thundershowers in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high in the upper 70s.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
7:18 at WCHL, Maya Angelou was known throughout the world as a literary pioneer and champion of civil rights. But the students and professors at Wake Forest University saw her as a gracious mentor and inspirational teacher. Angelou died at her home in Winston-Salem on Wednesday at the age of 86. Angelou was the Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University and was planning a new class this fall called Race, Culture, and Gender in the U.S. South and Beyond. Before that, she last taught at Wake Forest in the summer of 2011. She had previously taught a poetry and performance class at her home. Mary DeShazer, a professor in English and Women's and Gender Studies, says every student who took her class said it was a remarkable experience. Again, an icon, Maya Angelou. Dead at her home on Wednesday at the age of 86. News around town this morning. Preparations are underway for the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce's biennial intercity visit. This year, the Chamber is inviting you to join them in Athens, Georgia. The idea of the intercity visit is to explore other towns like Chapel Hill and draw lessons that will help us develop better policies back at home. About 100 people participate, including elected officials and other community leaders. Previous trips have included Asheville, Bloomington, Indiana, and Ann Arbor, Michigan. You notice all these trips are to university communities. This year's trip runs from September 21st through 23rd. And if you'd like to go, visit carolinachamber.org for more information. Stop by Greenbridge on Monday, June 9th, to learn more about Chapel Hill's Rosemary Imagine Project. The town is hosting two drop-in community review meetings on that day. They gather feedback on the latest draft of the Rosemary Street Vision and Implementation Plan, a proposal to guide the long-term development of Rosemary Street. The first meeting will run from 11:30 to 1. The second will run from 4:30 until 6:30, both in the Sky Lounge at Greenbridge, 601 West Rosemary. A reminder, part three of a four-part interview, Jim Hebner and Bruce Cairns, coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. You'll certainly want to stay tuned for that. And as we get to WCHL Championship Sports now, sophomore slugger Sky Bolt struck lightning in his Carolina freshman year debut. What a season he had. But the going has gotten much tougher for the outfielder in his second go-round for the Tar Heels. WCHL's Matt Oakes caught up with Sky Bolt yesterday to chat about the state of his game And Carolina's chances this weekend down in Gainesville and their opportunity to get to the College World Series. You'll find that all of the Tar Heels are very optimistic going into postseason play.
Bolt certainly had it all clicking a year ago. The Georgia native and son of a former college baseball player earned consensus freshman All-America honors by Baseball America, Perfect Game, NCAA, and Louisville Slugger after starting 54 games in the outfield and batting .321 despite missing a month with a broken foot. But maybe it all came too easy. The infamous sophomore slump hit hard in 2014. To date, Bolt checks in with a mere .256 batting average and has only swatted 3 home runs this season. But the sophomore says he's matured and is gaining perspective on the game of baseball and life through the ups and downs.
It's a game of inches and it's a game of mental mentality, and success obviously fuels confidence, but you know, it's good to see the results a little bit, I guess, but it's one of those things that you're going to continue to battle throughout your whole career, whether it be professional or life. So it's a game that'll take advantage of you, and it's certainly given me the better half of the stick the past month.
Due to the disparity in the stat sheet, many have speculated Bolt has been carrying an injury throughout the season, but the sophomore isn't making any excuses for his dip in performance.
You can hold on to an injury, you can hold on to, you know, an out like that as long as you want to, but the fact of the matter is I was playing some my best ball this past fall, so injury has nothing to do with it.
Overall, as a team, Bolt credited a case of complacency in both the younger and older guys when asked about the unusually high 25 defeats in the loss column, the most since way back in 2001.
Well, I think it validates to the rest of the teammates, some of the younger guys, what this team's actually capable of and what it's supposed to be doing all along. You know, we had a really strong fall, and I think it put some complacency in the minds of some of us young guys. I mean, some of the older guys have been here and done it. Even they fell into the trap, I think, a little bit of saying, you know, we refueled what we lost with some of these freshmen. We got a lot of talent, but bottom line is you got to go back out there and play.
Heading into postseason play as an underdog is an unfamiliar position for the Diamond Heels, who are typically locks to host a regional at Boschmer Stadium this time of the year. Head coach Mike Fox's ball club hasn't hit the road for a regional since 2010, but Bolt insists his team remains confident. He sees things turning around at just the right time.
You know, you're starting to see that we're playing our best ball. And when you're playing your best ball, you're playing defense, you're pitching, and you're getting some decent run support, which we've lacked the first half of the season. Anything's possible with any team, and that's the way it should be at this program.
Carolina's winning pedigree and tradition can't hurt this young group of talent in the crucible of tournament play. Omaha is seemingly a yearly reunion for this program, but will the belief be there? Bolt thinks so.
But if we do get in one of those situations, you know, history of Carolina baseball is we're going to come back just as we did against Maryland, and we're going to continue to play. So they've got that stepping stone as a little bit of an example, but, you know, it's up to the younger guys, and certainly I know the older guys believe in what we can do at any moment.
The irony of it all is Bolt is one of those underclassmen he talks about, but he has a trip to Omaha under his belt. The question remains, will this next group of Tar Heel freshmen be getting theirs? Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
There will be more talk about sports than usual at the White House today. President Barack Obama will huddle with representatives of pro sports leagues, coaches, parents, youth sports players, researchers, and others to help educate the public about youth sports concussions. And some of that research comes from UNC. The White House says nearly 250,000 kids visit hospital emergency rooms each year with brain injuries caused by sports or other recreational activity. Kevin Guskowitz, a lead concussion researcher at Carolina, will participate in today's summit that will focus on finding new ways to identify, treat, and prevent concussions. The event is called the Healthy Kids and Safe Sports Concussion Summit. Guskowitz is Senior Associate Dean for Natural Sciences in the College of Arts and Sciences, and Keenan, Distinguished Professor of Exercise and Sports Science at the university. The invitation came after a series of expert interviews with the White House Office of Science and Technology, where Guskowitz was asked his thoughts about new directions for concussion research. Cam Newton started doing some light throwing, and Coach Ron Rivera says he wouldn't rule out the Pro Bowl quarterback from participating in the team's June 17th through 19th minicamp. Rivera said after yesterday's OTA, the three-year NFL veteran is making good progress following left ankle surgery on March 19th. Newton, who's out of his walking boot now, didn't practice but threw passes to first-round draft pick Kelvin Benjamin and some other young receivers. Newton had been expected to miss up to 4 months. Rivera says Newton began throwing early this week and has been looking good. Defensive end Greg Hardy, who was arrested earlier this month for assault on a female and communicating threats, practiced but declined interviews, saying he needed to get inside the stadium to lift weights. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
If you thought Catherine Romaine was too good to be true, she is. This is our Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. 22 Chapel Hill High School athletes are going on to play their sports on the college level. And at the top, literally, is Catherine Romaine, the 6'2" center on the Tigers' 2014 undefeated state championship basketball team. Romaine will play her college ball at Bucknell, and recently she was named an Academic All-American by the National High School Coaches Association. The selections comprise 121 student-athletes from 27 states and 8 different sports. They average a 3.9 GPA, with 31 All-Americans coming in with a 4.0 or better. Romaine blew away that average. She has a 5.0 GPA and scored a 33 on her ACT exam. She was named to the 3A All-Star team in 2013 and voted the East Regional Tournament MVP and the most outstanding player in the 3A state championship in the Smith Center. Romaine was also an All-Star volleyball player for the Tigers under veteran coach Sherry Norris, who won her second state championship in basketball last season. Of the 22 Chapel Hill High Tigers honored last week as future college athletes, among them are three going on to join the UNC Athletic Department, including soccer All-American Alexandra Kimball, who announced her intention to play for Anson Dorrance's Tar Heels after her junior season. Frances Rulin will also play for the Lady Heels, and Luke Sioka will join Carlos Simano's men's team at Carolina. All 22 athletes were honored in a ceremony in Haynes Theater, orchestrated by new athletic director Tim Bennett. Here are the others: Hank Bolin, lacrosse, Illinois Wesleyan; Christopher Chang, tennis, Washington and Lee; Megan Dell, soccer, Virginia Commonwealth; Daniel Govert, football, Appalachian State; Anders Holland, lacrosse, Guilford; Caitlin Jones, swimming, Johns Hopkins; Casey McCunas, swimming, Rochester Institute; Heidi McCunas, swimming, Ithaca College; Brandon Nickerson, football, UNC Charlotte; Joey Raines, football, Methodist; Perry Ramsey, volleyball, North Carolina State; Evan Rose, swimming, Case Western Reserve; Rachel Samuelson, swimming, Randolph-Macon; Jamila Smith, basketball, South Carolina State; Laura Sullivan, soccer, Roanoke College; Joshua Takeman, swimming, Carnegie Mellon; Colin Villan, cross-country, Western Carolina; Chandler Whedon, soccer, Franklin and Marshall. Congrats and good luck to all the Tigers. This is Art Jansky. See ya.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Today's
Member FDIC.
Deal.com is from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's half off. $20 of delicious food and drinks available now for $10. The Triangle's oldest brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night, and offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and appetizers. New for the summer is the Triple S Lager, a full-flavored Vienna-style lager perfect for hot Carolina summers. It's half off from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at our local deal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather is 66 degrees right now. Cloudy. It's going to be cloudy all day. 50-50 chance of showers and maybe even thunderstorms. We could get some storm activity this morning and a chance of rain in the afternoon as well. Our high today, about 80 degrees.
97.9 FM. WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Veterans Affairs shortcomings on vets' health care certainly got House lawmakers' attention.
These violations should not have happened on his watch.
A reference to VA Chief Eric Sinchecki at last night's hearing.
We expect answers. That's all we're looking for here.
Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Jeff Miller.
Until VA understands that we're deadly serious, you can expect us to be over your shoulder every single day.
A couple more hearings are set for today on Capitol Hill. And correspondent Nancy Cordes says there were significant health care shortcomings.
The harsh Inspector General's report focused first on Phoenix, where the scandal surfaced. There, they discovered 1,700 veterans who had requested a primary care appointment but were not placed on the electronic waiting list, putting them at risk of being forgotten or lost.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM. WCHL.
732, 66 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy day, 50% chance of rain all day. I'm Rod Stutz. UNC students participating in revenue-generating sports have been thrown under a microscope, and the quality of the education they get has been called into question. Carolina's faculty chair-elect is Bruce Cairns. He says the conversation has gone down the wrong path. He's the J.C. Byrne Center Director and John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery at Carolina, recently elected as chair of the faculty at UNC. He will take over from Jan Boxall at the beginning of the new academic year on July 1st. Of course, there's been a lot of public debate. Jim Hettner sat down for a long conversation with Bruce Cairns, and this morning we present part three of that four-part conversation.
Dr. Cairns, we have been talking about how we got to this point in the multiple scandals that you and I have agreed that we would put into different buckets, the AFAM scandal, and then we have the issue with the issues in the football program that we hope are in the past. But the current issues, it seems to me that what we ought to be worried about is going forward, and that's what's being debated. And right now we're debating whether scholarship athletes, specifically football players and basketball players. And I want to go to some lengths to say that because there are an awful lot of students who are not in those sports who feel that they have also been unfairly maligned because too often this is said about all athletes, but about football players and then to a certain extent basketball players, that some are admitted whose chances of graduation are so slim that it raises a lot of questions about the university's mission. That question can be posed in a lot of ways, so you might not be very happy with the way I might pose it. So why don't you pose what you believe is the question that we have regarding how we deal with special admits who are here to play football or basketball?
I'm just happy to be here. You can pose it however you'd like. I think we have to be able to answer the tough questions, and so I'm fully prepared to give you the best answer that I can. And I think that for me, as faculty, we have to stand for something. And as we move forward, what we have to stand for is academic integrity, as opposed to against something, whether or not it's athletics or the performing arts or something else. If we stand for our academic integrity and then we stand for making sure we have policies, procedures in place to ensure that that happens, then people can have confidence that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. I would say that with regards to how we move forward, there have been a number of policies and procedures that have been evaluated. As you, I'm sure, aware that the Provost Working Group is evaluating everything from the very beginning to the very end that it has anything to do with athletics. And we had the Board of Trustees meeting this month, and Bubba Cunningham discussed that process and said, number one, this is very complicated and it's going to take a lot longer. In fact, I think he said it will never be done. And I agree with that. We had talked about in the past the issues that have affected Carolina 50 years ago. The issues of athletics and academics have existed for 100 years. They're always going to be there. We now have no illusions that this doesn't affect Carolina. We know that's true. It's interesting that our faculty participate in the Faculty Athletics Committee as well as the Special Admits Committee. They're actively involved in this process. And I believe the numbers have changed over the past few years, the number of special admits in athletics. There have been attempts to link the performance of a student before they come to Carolina with their predicted outcome. And I think that that's really important. The issue of academic performance doesn't just apply to the athletics team, but it applies to community college transfers. Anybody who comes into Carolina, we really have an obligation to help them finish because they're going to become leaders in their community. And it's not fair to them if we expect them to undergo the very rigorous and challenging Carolina education and not be able to complete that process. I really do think that the faculty and the administration working with the athletics department are really trying to be on the same page. However, I would say one last thing. We must maintain vigilance. We must continue to ensure that we are doing the right thing by our student athletes and by the university and our stakeholders so that we aren't faced with this problem again.
Well, if the scoreboard is unfavorable, then generally the folks who are being measured by the scoreboard don't like it. And lots of folks don't like the academic progress rate as now required by the NCAA. Then in recent years, it's the progress toward graduation rate. And UNC, in the most recent report, has the worst four-year academic progress rate in the Atlantic Coast Conference in men's basketball and in football. What did you think when you saw those numbers?
I am going to do the best I can to remember what I've read about that. I believe that was a five-year cumulative result, and that if you have people who leave the program early, that absolutely affects your APR, and that the last year or two, we actually had done quite well. The reality is that we have to focus on what we can do now with admissions and with retention and with educating our students, whether they're student athletes or not, so that they get the best Carolina education. And we have to make sure that that's our priority. That's what we're going to do as faculty. That's what I've heard the provost and the chancellor say. I think that we just have to figure out how to work together to do that. I don't think anybody who supports Carolina and is concerned about these issues thinks that we should have any other approach.
The sports bars are filled with debate about one and done, whether that's good or bad for the sport, good or bad for the fans. Does it make it more fun to watch? We don't get to see as many of the kids come and watch them grow up here and mature. And in fact, the brand, that was sort of part of the brand of watching the kids grow up here. But from an academic standpoint, does the notion of sort of a plan for one and done as an academician, is that an issue for you?
That I have to confess, I don't think a lot about that as the chair of the faculty. We think about all of these other issues, and we want to have the best and the brightest, the students that are committed to coming to Carolina and then getting the full benefits of enrolling here, graduating. And I had an opportunity to work with the legendary Phil Ford. He has a foundation, and he has supported our burn camp, in fact. And he's been working with Dr. Eliana Perrin in childhood obesity. And, you know, he talked about finishing in 4 years in the 70s and the importance of getting that degree. And that Coach Williams and others believe in this as well. I think it's a challenging time for intercollegiate athletics. But I think that for us as faculty, our principal priority is going to be on educating the best and the brightest and having them complete their degree. I don't really have a lot more to say about that.
Well, I have one sort of final area, and that has to do in this whole business, and then we'll get on to some of the other easy topics like sex crimes. And I say that because, as a way of pointing out, that none of these issues are easy. So this has to do with your own view toward how the university how the university's academic mission may be compromised when we have diplomas granted to students who are taking courses that are significantly less rigorous than might be that of the average student. Now, in the most recent round of published reviews of Mary Willingham's work, the university asked these three professors at three other universities to evaluate her findings. And then they came back and discredited her findings. But then in the report, and I'm going to read from it here so that we don't have any question about the accuracy of it. It says the university's internal review found that more than 60% of the 176 students tested above a 12th grade equivalent. Less than 6% tested below an 8th grade equivalent. And even these results are questionable because the SATA does not have test score information for anyone below the 10th grade. Now, because our test was normed only for grades 10 to 16 in the school-age population, we had to extrapolate downward. This process results in sometimes spurious grade equivalence. So even the university is suggesting in that a skeptic, and that's a part of our job, a skeptic would say, well, spurious grade equivalence means that we don't really know for certain where these students' reading ability would score.
Due to a technical issue, we have aired the same portion of the conversation that we aired yesterday. Tune in at 8:30 this morning, and you will hear part three of Jim Hebner's conversation with UNC faculty chair-elect Bruce Cairns. Again, that's coming up at 8:30 this morning. And this weekend, you can hear the whole discussion on Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon. 7:43 at WCHL.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
At the UPS Store, we love printing. Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, banners, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need. We do it all from start to finish. And now we have three convenient options to make the process even easier for you. Submit your print job by email or by visiting our new online print website at upsstoreprint.com, and we'll quickly have it ready for you to pick up. Or you can always bring your materials to one of our local stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
67 degrees, cloudy day, 50-50 chance of rain. 7:45 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Walt Mack. As the first public university in the nation to admit students in 1795, the University of North Carolina has a long and proud history, but that history is not without its warts and blemishes. A case in point, in an otherwise distinguished career, which included serving as a colonel in the Confederacy and being wounded twice during the Civil War, William Saunders, a UNC graduate of 1854, was one of the organizers of the Ku Klux Klan in North Carolina. He also became Secretary of State and produced what is considered North Carolina's most authentic and accurate history of colonial times, a noteworthy achievement. In recognition of his scholarly work in researching the state's historical documents, the university in 1922 named its new history department building after him. The university chose to overlook the fact that Saunders was involved with the Ku Klux Klan and may not have even cared. Well, some times have changed since then, and now a student movement is afoot to expunge the eponymous Saunders from the hall that bears his name. This is not the first time that students have sought to pluck the eye if it offends thee. Poor suffering Silent Sam, the statue of a Confederate soldier that stands guard at the Franklin Street portal to the campus, has come under attack. Sam has been spat upon, vandalized, painted over, and even threatened to be torn down. Now let me be clear, I am a transplanted Yankee, and certainly not even in the stretch of one's wildest imagination, a radical Southern segregationist who believes the South shall rise again. But I do believe we should avoid at all cost tampering with history, because in some way it offends us. Philosopher George Santayana is reputed to have said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." I am sure Santayana would agree. Don't mess with history. This is Walt Mack.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT.
What you're saying on the street.
I'm Mary Yunt. Though Chapel Hill maintains a small-town feel, it is a place that is always evolving and expanding. We hit the streets to find out what it is that you would like to see change in Chapel Hill.
My name is Catherine, and I work downtown Chapel Hill, and if I could change one thing about Chapel Hill, it would probably be to increase parking, especially in the downtown area, to increase business.
Hi, my name is Laura, and I live in Chapel Hill, and the one thing I would change is I'd like to see more activities around town that people could participate in of all ages.
Hi, I'm Fiona, and I live in Chapel Hill, and I'd like to see fewer chains and more smaller businesses in the town.
What is one thing that you would like to see change in Chapel Hill?
My name is Austin. I live in Chapel Hill, and I would like to see more outdoor bars in the area.
Hey, my name is Amim. In Chapel Hill, I'd really like to see more parking spaces, really widen some of these roads.
Hey, my name is Blake. I live in Chapel Hill, and I'd like to see a Safe Ride T running during the summer.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
You gotta get a Civic at Crown Honda South Point. Civic is the first car in its class to earn IIHS's Top Safety Pick Plus Award. And right now, you can drive one for just $159 a month. Experience a new level of luxury today. Why settle for less? You gotta get a Civic at Crown Honda South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and online at southpointhonda.com. Based on the 2014 Honda Civic Sedan LX Automatic, $159 per month, 36-month lease, 12,000 miles per year. $24.99 down payment due at signing. Excludes tax, titles, and dealer fees. For well-qualified lessees, see dealer for details.
Beethoven, what's wrong?
Ah, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Breadman's? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Breadman's, come to Breadman's. Eat at Breadman's every day.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Danke schön.
Do you want to know the most affordable secret for anti-aging? Sunscreen. Daily use of sunscreen will help prevent photo-aging, such as wrinkles, broken blood vessels, and brown spots, as well as skin cancers associated with sun exposure. Carolina MediSpa carries several different options depending on your needs and skin type. Everyone should be using a sunscreen that is SPF 30 or higher with broad-spectrum UVA and UVB protection every day. Stop by Carolina MediSpa today for a sample of a sunscreen that's right for you. All sunscreens are 20% off in April and May.
Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Not a lot of problems this morning. Some of the usual congestion around School Jones in particular, and out on I-40 at the intersection of 15501 and I-40. It's a little congested, a little slow getting onto the exit ramp there. And also out near the park, the Durham Freeway, and also Alexander Drive, just running a little slower than usual this morning. But otherwise, everything is okay. Nothing really out of the ordinary. If you spot anything we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, a little cooler today than yesterday. It is 67 degrees right now. Cloudy skies now and all day. 50% chance of showers. Slight chance of a thunderstorm. Even this morning we could get one. Then a chance of rain in the afternoon as well. High today about 80. That's about 10 degrees cooler than yesterday. Tonight cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain and low in the low 60s. Tomorrow another mostly cloudy day. 40% chance of showers. And the high tomorrow in the upper 70s. 7:52 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now with the word of the day. I can't wait. How you doing?
Let's see if the telephone of the day will work, shall we?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Hey, Ron, did you make it through the all 3 hours and get to the end with Denouement yesterday morning, or do we need to do that one again?
Oh, no, we got it. We even got a winner yesterday.
I'm so glad to hear that. All right.
I think it was actually John Coffey.
Good. Well, the art historian, I think, is that who you're talking about?
No, but he's a smart guy.
Okay, well, there's more than one of them then. All right, today I got another dandy for you. You ready for this?
Yes, absolutely.
Take a deep breath. The word of the day is usufruct. Usufruct.
Can you say that on the radio?
I think we can, given what passes on a lot of other radio stations and TV stations these days. Usufruct, it is a legal term, U-S-U-F-R-U-C-T, U-S-U, sounds like a university out in the West somewhere, F-R-U-C-T, usufruct. Here's a word that goes back at least to the 17th century in English. Thomas Jefferson is alleged to have used it in his letters. It's all about the legal right of using and enjoying the fruits or the profits of something belonging to somebody else. Is that a toughie or is that a toughie?
Yeah, that is a tough one.
All right. The legal right to use and enjoy the fruits or the profits of something belonging to somebody else. I will bet you a good solid American quarter that this is a term that's going to turn up in all of this legal hassling that the university is going through with God knows who's on the outside of the fence. Usufruct, U-S-U-F-R-U-C-T. Yes, we can say it on the radio. And it is the word of the day.
All right. I appreciate it, buddy. That's a good word.
Adios.
All right. Take care. Wayne Pond's word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you can call me and tell me the word of the day, spell it correctly, and give me the definition. If you're the first correct caller, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:54.
Clean joke of the daytime, WCHL. Ron's Touch here along with Lauren Stafford. I'm going to try not to get silly today.
We'll try. I know we've been a bit silly lately.
We've been really silly lately. Really silly. We've had some lousy jokes lately, too.
I know. I feel like, well, you know, those jokes that you have to cry to stop from laughing,
yeah,
sort of thing. That's what we've had. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we have a good joke, since it's a long joke, so let's get into it. And it's from Betsy Wu.
Oh, Betsy Wu. Okay.
Betsy Wu. All right. A judge was interviewing a woman regarding her pending divorce. and asked, "What are the grounds for your divorce?" She replied, "About 4 acres and a nice little home in the middle of the property with a stream running by." "No," he said, "I mean, what is the foundation of your case?" She responded, "It's made of concrete, brick and mortar." "I mean," the judge continued, "what are your relations like with your husband?" She replies, "I have an aunt and uncle living here in town, and so do my husband's parents." The judge finally said, "Ma'am, do you have a real grudge?" "No," she replied, "we have a two-car carport and have never really needed one." "Please," he tried again, "is there any infidelity in your marriage?" "Why, yes," she said. "Both my son and daughter have stereo sets. We don't necessarily like the music, but the answer to your questions are yes." "Ma'am, does your husband ever beat you up?" "Yes," she responded, "about twice a week. He gets up earlier than I do." Finally, in frustration, the judge asked, "Lady, why do you want a divorce?" "Oh, I don't want a divorce," she replied. "I've never wanted a divorce. My husband does. He said he can't communicate with me."
I wonder why.
I think a judge wants a divorce from that situation right then and there. It's like, let me out of here.
I think that's grounds for separation, at least.
Oh.
Whoa.
Ending.
Man.
Right. This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Donna Carrington, and she was nominated by her daughter, Kieran Carrington. Kieran, why is she so special?
Well, she's really nice, and she helps me through the problems that I have, and whenever I'm really sad, she makes me feel better.
How old are you, Kieran?
10 years old.
Okay, and where are you in school?
I go to McDougal Elementary.
And your mom helps you with your schoolwork and all that kind of thing, too?
Uh-huh.
I understand she not only helps you, but she helps other kids as well.
Yeah, she helps other kids, and she helps my family through our problems, and she's just really, really nice to everyone.
Now, I know that every day your mom is helping someone, and you guys, your family, you've had some difficult times, but your mom is always up and always positive and makes you feel the same way.
Uh-huh.
Tell me something else about your mom.
The big thing is that even in the worst situations, she's always positive. She works to make everything not as bad, so she basically helps us see the bright side of things.
Well, that's always important. Can I speak to your mom for just a minute?
Okay.
Yes, I was listening to her to make sure who you are.
Will you talk to me for just a minute?
I sure will.
Okay. Donna, you have an incredible daughter, Kieran. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with her. It sounds like she's a wonderful person.
She is. Kieran has a visual impairment, and so she doesn't let it stop her. Most people wouldn't know all of the things that she has to deal with, and she's just great. Everyone that meets her falls in love with her immediately. And she's just wonderful.
The main thing that came across from my conversation with her is that you are so positive. Even if there are obstacles to overcome, you always stay positive and you make her feel that way too.
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough year for us. We're living at the shelter. We're getting ready to move finally. But we're the longest residents right now. We've been here 10 months.
Wow.
It's been rough. Yeah, it's been rough. It's been really hard to try to find places. We got rejected for 8 places before we found this one. So it's been really hard, but you know, I think the kids need to stay positive and they need to continue doing their schoolwork and everything, and it'll work out the way it's supposed to.
Well, Donna, you are indeed a WCHL hometown hero and obviously a very special mom, and I thank you for doing what you do, and also thanks to Kieran for nominating you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Donna Carrington is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
What we have here is a cloudy day, really cloudy day. 50-50 chance for showers, maybe even a thunderstorm. We could get a little storm activity this morning and a chance of rain later in the day, of course. Our high today, about 80.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Follow the Tar Heels in postseason play. Mike Fox's Carolina baseball team is in the NCAA tournament, and when UNC plays, you can hear it right here on WCHL.
Capitol Hill confrontation on the VA scandal.
Veterans' health is at stake, and I will not stand for a department cover-up.
The search for the Malaysian plane is over for now.
No signs of aircraft debris have been found.
And a White House summit on kids and concussions.
Young kids are a particular problem.